Thank you. Who terrorizes the universe. Text number 3 or 4. Tata.
Tata.
Jagama.
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 Bhagavan.
Jagama Prajeshwarai.
Sriyamanam Prajeshwarai.
Tato Jagama Bhagavan.
Tato Jagama Bhagavan.
Namo Ganu Prabhupada.
Pujyasura Vajena.
Sriyamanam Prajeshwarai.
Tato Jagama Bhagavan.
Thus far, Hiranyakashipu has been relatively successful, more successful than, generally speaking, we consider most people in this world. Because Hiranyakashipu, although he was, here it says, or as Prahlad Maharaj said, Tatsadamanye Surya Varya Dehina, he was the best of the demons. Mahajano Yena Katasa Bhanda. So he's the, if you want to be a demon, he is the demon you should follow. Because he's the best of the demons. So if you want to be a demon, you might as well choose the best of the demons to follow. And why was he best of the demons? One reason was he had some intelligence. Generally, demons have no intelligence. But he at least realized that if I'm going to be the Lord of the material nature, which more or less all of us have come here to become, he knew, first I have to conquer death. Most of us just run headlong into trying to become the Lord, and we don't even bother trying to conquer death. But he at least wanted to conquer death first. And so he went through austerity, as we know, standing at the tip of his toes for 120 years of the demigods, without drinking water, eating. Practically speaking, he couldn't even breathe anymore because his lungs got eaten up. His brains got eaten. That's probably why he kept on standing there. He lost his brains. He had nothing left but bones. But he was so determined to get his benediction, to become immortal, that he was willing to stand there, his bones, completely naked. And then finally, Lord Brahma came and said, my dear Hiranyakashipu, that what would you like? He said, I want to become immortal. And Brahma said, well, I can't be, I'm not immortal. How can I, if I knew how to become immortal, I would give myself the benediction. But I'm not immortal. So obviously, how can I, why would I give you the benediction if I don't have it myself? Hiranyakashipu was fairly intelligent, but he kind of missed a beat there. And he said, all right, I can outsmart you. I want you to give me all these benedictions, 100 of them he asked for, so that I can cheat death. Because he thought he was the most intelligent person in the universe, even more intelligent than Brahma. Because that's the nature of the material energy, is that she tries to convince all of us that somehow or another we're very special. And there may be temporarily someone more special than we are, but by a little practice, a little endeavor, then a little surrender, then eventually I'll become the most special person in the whole universe. I may worship Lord Brahma like Hiranyakashipu, but the idea is I'll learn all the tricks of the trade, and then eventually I'll take the trade myself and get rid of the old trickster. Probably one time he was on going up, New Vrindavan, and Bhavananda was there. They were going up the hill. And Bhavananda Prabhu was helping Srila Prabhupada up the hill. And finally he got up the hill and Prabhupada just threw his hand away and says, I don't need you anymore, go away. And Bhavananda was quite shocked. That, you know, why did Prabhupada, you know, suddenly just throw his hand, what did I do wrong? So Prabhupada said, no, he said, this is the impersonalist. You know, they take the hand of their guru, they go up higher and higher and higher, and finally they get there and they just say, I don't need you anymore, and they throw their guru away. We see that in the Durga worship, that in India they have Durga worship, and if you listen to Prabhupada's tapes, you can hear the loud sounds of the speakers. They may not be very good speakers, but they're definitely loud. And in the background they're playing Mary Martin's Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music. Because after all, it's Durga worship, and anything goes. That's certainly part of the material energy. So they worship Durga for some time. They build very beautiful deities of Durga. And at the end of the festival, they don't need her anymore, since she's given all the benedictions she can. And they just take her into the river and just throw her. Go for a swim, we'll see you later. So this is the materialistic mentality, that let me take help from someone else until I finally get what I want. No, I don't need them anymore, just throw them away. Hiranyakashipu realized that let me take shelter of Lord Brahma, but now he's given me all the benedictions, I don't need him anymore. As a matter of fact, now I become Brahma's competitor. Because Brahma, he doesn't have all the benedictions I have. Therefore, one day, maybe I can take over the universe too. Or two or three. Find some other Brahman, take over his universe too. Therefore, Queen Kunti, she prays that to think in this material world that there's such a thing as victory or defeat. We have examples in the Ramayana that Sutayu. He was the guardian of Sita Devi. But when Ravana came to steal, kidnap Sita Devi, he fought with him, but he lost. And when Lord Ramachandra came, he didn't say, "What happened? Well, I fought with Ravana and I lost." "You lost? My devotees never lose." It says that in the Bhagavad Gita. "My devotees are never vanquished. How can you have lost? This is an embarrassment." Maybe you're not so sincere. No, he treated Jatayu just like his own father, practically speaking, and he performed the last rites for Jatayu and embraced him. Because Sukaduke is makrit ba lava lavo jaya deyo. Tell you died you jesva and I even papam abapsisi. Sukaduke, happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, whatever. Do your duty and fight and don't consider these things because they're actually ultimately not very important. When Queen Kunti was remembering her pastimes with her sons, she didn't just remember the good times. Generally when we get older or whatever, the good old days. ISKCON, we hear about the good old days. Well, I tell you, when I was in the good old days, it didn't seem like the good old days. These new old days seem to a certain extent a lot better than the good old days. So she wasn't considering all the good times. She said, "Vishan Hagni Purushada Darshana. You saved us from the Vishan, the poison cake." Not exactly a happy time. Bhima was fed poison, a whole cake full of poison. And because he had a ravenous appetite, he ate the whole thing, didn't notice it was poisonous. Until he felt a little tired. He had a good appetite. So then he sat down, he said, "I feel a little sleepy," and all of the Kauravas said, "Well, it's normal after eating a meal, you know, lay on your left side for a few minutes and we'll wake you up." And he laid on his left side for a few minutes and then he was completely asleep. And then they picked him up and threw him into a lake full of poisonous serpents. "Happy birthday." Into the lake you go. And they all stung him. Fortunately, the poison from the snakes counteracted the Kalakuta poisoning, and Bhima woke up. Lucky Bhima. But it wasn't exactly a happy remembrance. And then Mahagne Purushada Darshana, the fire in the forest. Their house was set on fire. They went into the forest, and they were greeted by a man-eater. "Welcome to the forest. We're going to have a feast, and you're part of the menu." Not exactly happy days. And things went from bad to worse. Not only there was one man-eater, but then they were in the battle. Then their wife was being stripped naked in the middle of the assembly. And then afterwards, everyone was throwing Brahmastra weapons at them. And they're in this battle. Millions of people are being slaughtered. Not exactly happy days. But Queen Kunti didn't say, "My dear Krishna, why? Why us? What did we do?" No, she said, "Vipadak shandu takshasva tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yasad apana parvadarshana." That we want to see these calamities again and again. Let the good calamities roll. Was it, We want to see them again and again. Does that mean what? She was some kind of masochist and she had a chain next to her and she kept on hitting herself. Back to the good old days. No, because she wasn't looking forward to the calamities. She was looking forward to seeing Krishna. And in the midst of calamity, she knew she had to take shelter of Krishna. They naturally took shelter of Krishna, and that's why it was good days. That's why she was remembering it, because Krishna was there. Then she said that, generally speaking, Janmaishvarya Shuta Shivir Edamana Madhatpuma Naivahatya Madhatumbai Twama Kinchana Goshara. Generally, everyone has their God project. We've come here with, everyone has their project, just like when we go to school, they give us little projects, finger painting, whatever. So our overall project is to become God. And we planned it out since time immemorial, and we may even thought we made some progress so far. Just a little bit more practice and a little bit more, we're almost there. We just need one or two extra clues and we'll be there. So the God project is Janma. Taking birth nowadays, previously Janma used to mean to take birth in some aristocratic family. But now, aristocracy means money. You have money, then you're aristocratic. Or, if you don't have money, if you take birth in some transcendental land like England. Because after all the other planets are vacant. There's no God. There's only this planet. And England is more or less Vaikuntha compared to, say, Afghanistan or Iraq. So, practically speaking, we appeared in Vaikuntha. And although the demons are trying to get into Vaikuntha, we have so many security cameras and we're checking on everyone. Make sure that no demon gets into Vaikuntha or terrorists or anything. Only the divine beings who've appeared here. Or America, or anywhere else. People think we're in the divine land. And therefore, the only thing we do is have to try to gradually improve it so it becomes more and more transcendental. And our scientists are working on that so that everyone who's taking birth, at least in England, can live forever. In England, of course. And we'll make our sense gratification so complete that you'll be in bliss all the time. Whatever desire comes to your mind immediately will be fulfilled. You simply think of a pizza, and by our technology, it'll be right on your plate, all cut up. And then you think, this is nice, but what about the spaghetti pop? The magic plate. Everything will be there. What about digestion? I just ate the pizza, it doesn't feel very good. Well, here's the pill. Ah, bliss. Technological bliss. And ultimately, to live forever in this body, and even there's some hint I'm going to leave the body, then they record the genetics of yourself, and they put you on a program disc, a DVD, maybe a super big DVD, and then they put you into a computer and you can live there forever in virtual reality. A virtual England. Or America, wherever else. And there you can eat, sleep, mate, defend to perfection, digitally. So this is the promise. Janma Aishvarya. Everyone will become unlimitedly wealthy, unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly Dhamma Aishvarya, Shruta, and Learning. We'll know everything it says on the internet. We'll know every single piece of news and every home in Afghanistan, Iraq, the Philippines, Malaysia, England, America, every home. It'll be right there on the internet. We'll become all pervasive. And as soon as we tell, just think of someone, we want someone in Afghanistan to send us a box of dates, immediately they'll do it by our technological advancement. So this is the dream, that gradually we'll make progress. Now so many bananas have flown in from Panama, and therefore we more or less, Panama is working for us here in England. And tomorrow so many avocados will be flown in. So everyone is serving us at our feet, the bananas, the avocados, everything. We become the laws of this universe, the laws of the world, and we're almost there. So anyone who's imagining like that, now I have my iPod or my whatever, and therefore I'm a better controller. There's like these computers. They used to have these, I forget what they call them, O86 computers. They used to have a memory of 72 kilobytes on a huge disk. And then they came out with 128 kilobytes for the power user. If you add 128 kilobyte disk, and it actually made two revolutions a minute, then you were a power user. Power user. Ishvaraham Hambogi, Siddham Balaban Suki. And then they increased it to 1 megabyte. 1 megabyte, my God. What can you put on 1 megabyte? A whole megabyte. And then it increased. I remember one time I bought a computer and had 500 megabytes on it. And Sridhar, it was in New York. And Sridhar Maharaj started to laugh. He said, you bought a computer with 500 megabytes? What do you need all that space for? What are you going to do with it? But I'm a power user. Now I have 500 megabytes, and soon it'll be a kilobyte, or whatever, gigabyte, and then a trilobyte. What do they call those now? Terabyte. And then the whole world will be in my computer, part of my disk. We're gradually expanding. Our memory isn't decreasing. We can't remember where we left our computer. But we're confident that the computer has a fantastic memory. It knows exactly where I am. And by the technology, I push the button and the computer will find me. So this is happening, but we're so bewildered. It says, Tatas Panudinam Dharma Satvam Sosham Daya Shama Kalena Balya Rajan Nakshantya Yor Balam Sriti. Day after day after day, everything is diminishing. Dharma is diminishing. Our longevity is diminishing. Our bodily strength is diminishing. Our mercy is diminishing. Our cleanliness is diminishing, our memory is diminishing, everything's diminishing, and we think we're advancing because we think the machines are advancing. But ultimately, what is it all about? It's all about our God project. Somehow or another, we become God. We get together with other God-like persons, and then we temporarily, we say, yes, let us cooperate so we can eliminate the other, our competitors. What is that? Idama dhyamaya ladvam imam prapsemen overtam idama stiyamati me bhavishati dharardhanam asomaya hatakshatra haniche chakrana pi ishvaraham ahambogi siravaham balavam sukhi. So much wealth do I have today. and I'll gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine, and in the future I'll get more and more and more. He is my enemy, and I've killed him, and my other enemies are also to be killed. I am the Lord of everything. I am perfect. I am powerful, and I am happy. I am surrounded by rich and aristocratic relatives. I shall perform some sacrifice. I will give some charity. And according to Purnachanda Maharaj's Gitamrita, I will go to the heavenly planets and kiss the apsaras. In this way, the demoniac are bewildered by ignorance. So this is the God project. Someone may be in the forest. There are many different animals. Someone may be a tiger. This is my project to become God. Another one would be, I'm a deer in the forest. I'm so beautiful. This is my God project. Beauty, Aishvarya. Mine is strength. Mine is wealth. So everyone has a God project. And ultimately it's to become Krishna. And why we get disappointed? Mrityu Saraharas Shaham. Death comes and takes our project away. They build a beautiful sandcastle on the beach. All the children are marveling. I built the biggest sandcastle. It has soldiers. It has a torrent. No one can enter my sandcastle. And then the waves come and wash it all away. So many sandcastles called France, England. England rules the waves. The sun never sets on England. Generally, that's true. Oh, it never goes down. Now the sun never appears in England, usually. It's gone far away. Except for Raphael. So many projects. America, we are a big dog. For always said they go to the United Nations. But they have this doggish mentality. You see the dogs, they walk around and they lift their legs. What does that mean? They have some prostrate problem? No, it means that this land is my land, and no dog enters without my permission. And they mark the territory, and another dog comes. One more step and you got my teeth in your throat, boy. Smell the air. This is my land. Take a whiff. So, that's the world. Maybe it's a little bit more sophisticated, as I mentioned yesterday. Even the birds fly in here from Russia. The English birds don't stop them at the border. Say, wait a second. Where is your passport? Do you have a visa for England? Sorry, there are not enough trees in England. Fly back to Russia. Or else we'll put you in a hole. Now, even the birds don't have that mentality. They let everyone fly in here. But because we've become so much caught up with this mentality that this is our land. So we think we're English, we're American, we're Italian, we're Russian, we're German, whatever else, Chinese. So they go to the United Nations, so-called peace, but what is the mentality? It all belongs to me. So the American goes, "Rawr, I'm a big dog. Anyone who doesn't like me, they get bit. You hear that, you get bit." And the Russians go, "Rawr, we're a big dog too. You get bit. We'll see who gets bitten last. I got a bigger bite than you." And the Italians go, "I'm a little dog, don't bite me." But we got good pizza. We share. Don't bite the pizza. Don't bite me. Bite the pizza. So we come here, and even we try to solve our problems, United Nations, League of Nations, whatever. But ultimately, it's the same mentality. It's simply a little trickery. That's all. That actually, as Prabhupada said, in the forest there are different animals. Some are very nice, some of them are not so nice, some are very pleasant, some are unpleasant. But ultimately, their mentality is animalistic. Without recognizing reality, then we force to serve our senses. And as long as we serve our senses, it's the same thing. Materialistic eating, sleeping, mating, defending. It may be a little bit more sophisticated or less sophisticated, but that ultimately is the God project. Even in the spiritual world, God is eating, God is sleeping, God and his associates, they have their relationships with each other, they have their protection of each other. Everything is going on there, but it's spiritual. And here, it's material. Here, we're trying to imitate Krishna, and we've been given a body so we can imitate the same eating, sleeping, mating, defending, but in a materialistic environment, which is just a dream for the soul, that he's living some kind of reality where he's actually in the center, that I'm the center. So Lord Brahma, he's thinking, I'm in the center, I'm controlling the universe, and some householder is thinking, I'm in the center, I'm controlling my family, and the mouse in the hole is thinking, look at my wife, have you ever seen a tail like hers? Every time I see it, I get excited. It's so fluffy. And my children, there's no children like mine. They can eat more cheese than any other mouse. So everyone has their feeling that we've made it. We're actually in the center. We're actually the laws of something important. And then death comes and takes it away. And what happens? We start all over again. We almost got it, but not quite. Until we recognize that our real problem is where we're simply trying to imitate Krishna. Just like we're chanting japa, sometimes we find there's so much problems because our minds are going here and there, everywhere. But where are they going? They're going to our God projects. We don't have time, we think, to listen to the holy name. That will spoil my God project. I don't have time, I only have so many breaths left to become God. And if I don't do it, I'm going to have to die. So let me spend every moment trying to perfect my existence so that by the time I have to leave the body, I will perfect my life and I won't have to die. So the mind's saying, putting so much pressure on us in so many different ways. You know, what's for breakfast? If you don't eat, you'll die. You know, what was for lunch? What happened yesterday? They didn't realize you were God, and therefore he stepped on your toe. What an offense. Could you imagine where he's going? So much hankering, so much lamentation. But it's all hankering to become Krishna, and lamenting over all our failures. Big ones and little ones. Therefore, if we hear with attention, and of course we don't like to hear with attention, something that's going to interfere with our project. That's the main reason why we don't like to hear, because if we listen, our project will fall apart. We won't put any energy into it. We'll get discouraged. He's trying to discourage me, because he wants to become God. That's what the mind will say. Yeah, they sit up there and they say so many things on the Vyasasana, but I watch him. He's just like everyone else. He has his project too. No, we don't like to listen because we don't like to hear so much at the beginning that actually our project is going to be a failure. No matter how hard, no matter how sincerely, no matter how intelligent we strive, it's not going to work. How beautiful we are, how intelligent, how many followers we have, whatever. Even when we get liberation, it's not going to work. The only thing that's going to work is if we hear with attention what Krishna has to say and then agree to follow it with our heart. Then that's going to work. Then something's going to open up. Krishna will reveal himself. And then we'll realize that actually Krishna is not who we thought he was. He's not simply looking at us thinking, you know, this guy has made so many mistakes for so long, I might as well give up. Wait till he comes back, am I going to give him a chastisement? I remember everything he did, and he did a lot of horrible things, or she did a lot of horrible things. Wait till I get a hold of her, or she. No, Krishna, he's inconceivable in every way. He has no God project. The only person who doesn't have a God project in this world is God. He doesn't want to become God. He wants to be the servant of his servants. He's simply looking for the interest of the eternal souls who he has an eternal relationship with. And that relationship is that of unalloyed love. Therefore, God doesn't want to become God. He wants to become a servant. And he comes here as Lord Chaitanya and shows us how to be a servant. Of course, he's still God. But as God, he simply acts as God as to be a servant. That's his renunciation. He simply is God as a servant of his devotees. But he has no other business, either here or in Vaikuntha or in Goloka Vrindavan. He simply wants to please his devotees. Therefore, when we develop that attitude of love and service, then we can enter into our relation with Krishna and everyone else. Other than that, we have this useless project, which has so many different aspects to it, we're completely bewildered by them. We can't even keep up with it. We have so many plans in this material world. So we just relax a little bit and realize that we, for 1 minute, if we paid attention, the roof wouldn't fall down. We don't have to keep on watching the roof while we're chanting japa, making sure that the roof doesn't fall and spoil all my plans. No, we can just pay a little attention and accept that when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that after paying attention, then we can try and feel Krishna's presence. Because after all, when we chant Hare Krishna lovingly, calling out for Srimati Radharani and Krishna, then they're present. The only thing next is to actually feel their presence. And if we learn how to feel their presence, then the result is we'll actually be in their association and we'll experience there's nothing more important than that. We don't have to worry about anything else. If we simply get Srimati Radharani and Krishna's presence, we feel their presence, then our life is perfect. And whatever happens to this body, it won't make any difference. Because whatever project we have, ultimately, it's a failure. Then in the material world, we can't win and we can't break even. So you can figure out what's left. What's that?
You can't stop playing either. You can't stop playing.
Yes, you can't stop playing. But if we hear the holy name, and we hear from the devotees how to hear the holy name, and we become receptive to Krishna's presence, we don't push Krishna mentally away. What do I need you for? When I need you, I'll call you. Why are you coming, you know? why are you so proud? You keep on interfering with my life. Who do you think you are anyhow? God or something? No, when we become simply receptive to his presence, then Krishna will reveal himself. So submission, inquiry, and then, like Arjuna, then we become enlivened to follow Krishna's directions, so that what will happen by doing that, then we'll become more and more receptive to chant, to hear attentively, and appreciate, relish Krishna's presence and his association. And that will become the center of our lives, rather than some other idea in our lives. So I'll stop there, thank you. Any comments? Questions?
Thank you for a very nice class, Maharaj. I was just wondering there if you could just speak a little bit more about learning to feel Krishna's presence, especially when chanting. You were saying that we chant and then we learn to feel Krishna's presence. So you could expand a little bit on learning how to feel his presence.
Yeah, if we're in the right mood, we're receptive, then we feel. Just like if we're in the right mood, if our minds are not agitated, going all around the world, then we suddenly become aware of what's going on here. Similarly, the transcendental vibration of Krishna is Krishna. So it's not that we have to do something special for Krishna. It's not that we have to, you know, Krishna is all right, but with a little salt it gets better. Krishna is already perfect, pour not. And if we just pay attention, then we'll become aware that he's actually in the holy name. Just like we're chanting Hare Krishna, and anyone who chants can see it's something different, because we can keep on chanting and it doesn't get boring. So what is that quality to the chanting? Is this a question of our becoming more conscious or realizing more and more what that quality is? And then Krishna will reveal it to us. He'll give us the intelligence, the Dhammi, Buddhi, Yogam, Dhamma, to understand what it means to feel his presence. Just like someone walks in the room, they're angry. We feel their presence. Someone walks in, they're blissful. We feel their presence. So if God walks in, we'll feel his presence. Now, how do we feel God? Here's God. You know, how do you feel his presence? Now, God is quite, you know, he makes himself known. The problem is we're rejecting his presence. We have the shield. So, God's coming. He's not getting through this time. Bliss, oh, no one's getting through. He's going to tell me to surrender now. I'm not surrendering. When Prabhupada, I remember one time I was in Buffalo, New York. Oh, no, actually, it was Boston. And Prabhupada walked into the temple room. He had just arrived from the airport. The temple was in Beacon Street, second floor. The devotees were having a kirtan. And I saw the picture of Lord Chaitanya, and suddenly it became enlivened. But Lord Chaitanya was dancing and enlivened. And then Prabhupada walked up the steps, and the whole atmosphere became Vaikuntha. It wasn't, you know, how to feel Prabhupada's presence. No, without any thought, we're in Vaikuntha. And everyone in that room, I could look around and see that they were feeling the same thing. So that's Prabhupada, of course, he's like Vidal Vidas Bhagavatas Tirtan Bhutak Swayam Vibho. Tirte Kurvanti Tirtani Swantak Stena Gita Bhutaha. He was carrying Krishna within his heart. He was feeling Krishna's presence. He was aware of Krishna. His name, form, quality, and pastimes. Everything was there. So therefore, he was there for everyone. So Krishna is there in the holy name. And if we chant it nicely, lovingly, then Krishna reveals himself. And he'll be there for ourselves and others also, as much as they're receptive. We don't have to worry about how it's going to happen. It just happens. When you turn on the light, how does the light appear? How will I become aware of the light? How will the darkness go away? No, you just turn on the light, and the light's there, and the darkness goes away. You don't have to worry about how it's done. It just happens that way. So we follow the process, it works. And we, how does it work, you know? Can you send me a certificate from the technological institute that explains how it works? Otherwise, I won't accept it. Anything else? Yes.
Well, I just said that Italian has small dogs.
Do they have? Wait a second. They have pizza.
Just a comment. At the time of the Roman Empire, there used to be a big dog. So every dog has his days.
Yeah, every dog. The real question is whether they had pizza. Depends what you think of the big dog. Some people think.
At that time, they had lasagna.
Lasagna. Yeah, well, what does America have? Hot dogs.
Another dog.
So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grandiraj, Shri Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Or Premanande.
Om Vishnu Udayan 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 Vishnu Ud